Hello, I'm Jeff Watts. Welcome to Advances in Eye Care on Neuroregeneration. In this edition, we'll be discussing new technologies and eye care. We'll be taking a close look at how digital technologies have been utilized for the understanding, treatment, and diagnosis of binocular vision disorders.
So this is a completely different way of doing 3D from what we know of in any other animal.
We've called it Asteroid, which is a bit of a funny name for a stereo test. An Asteroid stands for Accurate Stereo Test on a Mobile Device.
All that to come. But to begin, we discuss a possible new treatment for glaucoma. In its various forms, this, according to the World Health Organization, is globally the second largest cause of blindness. The disease has no current cure, and medical intervention is still focused on the management of intraocular pressure. And many who receive treatment still experience loss of vision. Dr. John Flanagan, Dean and Professor of Optometry at the University of California, Berkeley, joins us now to talk about a potential new treatment for glaucoma, which is centered around a better understanding of the disease at a cellular level. So, Dr. Flanagan, a very warm welcome to Advances in Eye Care. Can you begin by offering a definition of glaucoma?
Yeah, certainly. Glaucoma, we now know, is the world's most common neurodegenerative disease. So it's a disease that encompasses a whole series of different causes, different risk factors, different presentations, but they lead to a single neuropathy that we lose the retinal ganglion cells in the retina. As I say, we now define it as a neurodegenerative disease. The average optometrist certainly is thinking about glaucoma every day. The front line of early diagnosis, and in many cases now, will be treating certainly the earlier stages of the disease. So it's a very important disease for optometry. I mean, it is the second leading cause of blindness, and it's a disease that we face every day. So a lot of us are thinking about this disease a great deal. And, you know, we've progressed over a relatively short period of time from where we thought of it as nothing more than a pressure disease, that it was only caused by high pressure. And if we lower the pressure, that is a cure, if you like. And we now understand that that's not necessarily the case, that lowering the pressure is incredibly important in trying to control the disease, but that it doesn't cure the disease, and that it's more than just a disease of high pressure in the eye. And really, it's the development of our understanding and that thinking about the way the disease works that has led us to think in these other ways about how we might need to cure, not just try and control and slow down the disease, but actually cure the disease. The common outcome to all aspects of glaucoma is that we lose the retinal ganglion cells. So the retinal ganglion cells are those relay cells that the axons run from the retinal ganglion cells along the retina to the optic nerve. They form the optic nerve and they take the visual signals back from the retina into the brain. And it's a problem with that retinal ganglion cell, that final relay cell, and their axons is the problem in glaucoma, that those cells die. So why do they die? Well, what we believe and knowledge now on how these mechanisms work is that around the axons are tubes of cells. So when we look with our OCT, or when we look on photographs, or when we look in the eye, we see the nerve fiber layer. And that's a really important clinical thing to assess. And we spend a lot of our time doing that. Well, when you look at the nerve fiber layer, this sort of striations that we look at and judge and try and decide clinically whether there's any of them lost, those striations are actually tubes of astrocytes around the axon. So the astrocyte's job is to keep the axon healthy. So it connects the little blood vessels in the nerve fiber layer through to the axons. It controls all the mechanisms of those neurons and the way in which they can send visual signals back to the brain. And what seems to be happening in glaucoma is that the astrocytes, which are normally sort of quiet, we call them quiescent, quiet astrocytes, doing their job of maintaining the axon, and that neural tissue, they will react to injury. So if we have injury, as we do in glaucoma, where there's ischemia at the optic nerve, where we have a problem with the perfusion of the optic nerve, the amount of blood available to keep the whole optic nerve healthy, when we have a problem, when we have trauma of that kind or injury of that kind, the astrocytes react. And they react to that injury and try and protect, if you like, the mechanism tries to protect the rest of the neural tissue around. And what seems to be happening in glaucoma is that along with normal sort of aging processes, we get to a point where that will go out of control and the astrocytes just start killing off the retinal ganglion cells. So it's how do we control the astrocytes to stop the death of the retinal ganglion cells? That's been our key sort of question for many years now.
Can you explain to us your research in this area?
So we've been really studying for many years now the behavior of those astrocytes. And for a long, long time, along with other groups that were looking at astrocytes in the brain and in the eye, we sort of assumed that when pressure gets high and the blood supply to the optic nerve starts to be compromised, and as we get older, that combination's not good and we can develop glaucoma. There was sort of an assumption that the astrocytes become reactive and do something bad that causes glaucoma and causes the loss of the retinal ganglion cells. What we realized a few years back was that it was actually the opposite of that. It's what the good astrocytes, the nice, quiet, maintaining astrocytes, stop doing when they react to injury that may cause glaucoma, and we believe causes glaucoma. So it's something that normal, quiet astrocytes stop secreting when they react to injury that causes the death of the retinal ganglion cells. What we identified as the most likely candidate for what those astrocytes secrete to keep the retinal ganglion cells alive and the axons healthy are called lipoxins. And lipoxins are what we call small pro-resolving lipid mediators. So they're part of the omega-6 pathway, as are prostaglandins, which are one of the most common treatments for lowering IOP. But lipoxins are part of that pathway. And we know a lot about them because they mediate inflammation. So there's two lipoxins, lipoxin A and lipoxin B. And the lipoxin A4, as it's called, is very well known, been studied greatly in the world of inflammation. We found that to be somewhat neuroprotective, but we found that its close ally, lipoxin B4, is actually a far more potent in terms of neuroprotection. And very little is known about lipoxin B4, which is why we're so excited about what this might do in terms of neuroprotection.
And what are the implications of these findings?
Well, what's exciting is that we're hoping that this may lead to development of interventions that might be neuroprotective. So instead of just lowering pressure in the eye, that we might actually enable the eye to effectively heal itself, that these natural substances, whether we can induce astrocytes to go back to producing these sufficiently to stop the neurodegeneration, or whether we find pathways or methods by which we can induce production of these lipoxins, that might actually stop the neurodegeneration. So it wouldn't lower the IOP. We know that this has nothing to do with lowering the pressure in the eye, the traditional intervention with glaucoma, but the possibility of actually stopping the neurodegenerative process.
How do you think this could be turned into a clinical treatment for humans? How would it be administered?
You know, the process of getting from this sort of discovery to a drug that we can all use and administer can be a lengthy process. Obviously, my collaborators and I try and move it ahead as quickly as possible. There's potential for this to be a drop. There's potential for it to be an oral administration tablet. What's probably more likely this day and age may be something that's implanted in the eye that either secretes the lipoxins or encourages the secretion of lipoxin. So at this stage, it's difficult to tell. You know, our next step, we need to work out more about the mechanism. We need to find the receptor, which is an important part of this sort of drug discovery, if you like. And that's what we're working towards now.
Do you think your research has implications for a possible cure for glaucoma?
Well, that's our hope. That's always the hope. That's what many of us have been working on for many years. And this certainly is as promising as anything we've worked upon to actually have a cure. I mean, a cure for anything like this, obviously, the next step is neuroregeneration. So if you manage to stop the degeneration, that doesn't mean that that you will gain back anything that you've already lost. And so there are many research groups around the world working in this area of regeneration. But really, until we have something that is neuroprotective, like this drug would be, if we can get it developed, that really is the next step forward and where we're hoping this will lead.
How wide-ranging are the possible implications of this discovery?
It's fairly speculative at the moment, but obviously if this is a fundamental pathway by which, you know, we can stop neurodegenerative disease, then obviously the hope is that it might be helpful in other types of neurodegenerative disease. So some of the diseases that affect the brain more than the eye, but it's quite possible that these pathways could be helpful in those diseases too. And of course, that's of great excitement as well.
Dr. Flanagan, thanks. It'll be fascinating to see how this research develops, and I'm sure we'll be back for an update in a future edition.